Tantric Buddhism, whose samaya is actually broken? Reconsidering the 14 root downfalls on abuse survivors are told speaking out breaks their sacred vows, or samaya. A look at the actual texts through the eyes of neutral LLMs suggests the opposite is true. The 14 root downfalls Claude Sonnet 5. The symposium you're referring to was the Heartwood Northwestern Symposium on Sexual Violence in Buddhism, Centering Survivors' Voices, held at Northwestern University in late October 2024. It featured two Bhutanese and Malaysian nuns discussing sexual abuse within Tibetan Buddhist contexts, Lama Willa Blythe Baker speaking on breaking silence about her own teacher's abuse, and psychotherapist Dr. Chandana Namal Rathnayake presenting research estimating that more than half of children in Sri Lankan monasteries have experienced sexual abuse. It was described by organizers as the first event of its kind to treat this as a structural problem deserving sustained scholarly attention rather than a series of isolated scandals. Buddhist Door Global Plus 2. Also 2026 https://www.globalbuddhism.org/issue/view/845 What Samaya is actually for. Samaya isn't a generic gag order. In every serious commentary, Ashvaghosha's root text, Tsongkhapa, the Nyingma commentaries by Kangyur Rinpoche and Gari Panchen, the 14 root downfalls exist to protect the integrity of the path, the practitioner's connection to awakening, the trust between qualified teacher and sincere student, and the well-being of beings. They were never framed as a mechanism for protecting individuals from the legal or ethical consequences of harming children. When Samaya gets invoked to silence abuse disclosure, that's an extension of the doctrine into territory the commentaries don't actually cover, and it's worth naming that distinction plainly before going through the list. It's also worth noting the Dalai Lama has addressed this directly, more than once, precisely because the "you can never criticize your Vajra guru" reading became a shield for abusers. His stated position, if you've already received tantric initiation from someone, you needn't develop hatred toward them, but the Kalachakra Tantra's advice is to keep your distance and not pursue the relationship further, that's a far cry from silence. On disclosure specifically, his guidance has been that teachers who abuse power, sex, money, alcohol, or drugs and don't correct their behavior when confronted should be named and criticized openly, and that doing so clears space for what's genuinely good in the tradition to be seen more clearly. That's coming from the highest profile authority in the tradition, not a fringe reformer. Infobuddhism plus 2 The 14 root downfalls, applied both ways. Working from Ashvaghosha's root text as compiled on Rigpa Wiki. 1. Disrespecting the Vajra master, traditionally, contempt toward one's own qualified teacher. Silence/cover-up, doesn't apply here, but note that classical texts also specify ethical qualifications a Vajra master must have. Someone who sexually abuses children has arguably disqualified themselves from the role this precept protects. Speaking out, naming a teacher's crimes isn't disrespect in the sense the precept means, it's refusing to extend the title's protections to someone who has forfeited them through conduct, not opinion. 2. Transgressing the words of the Buddha, the Buddha's own ethical teaching prohibits sexual harm, especially to those unable to consent. Cover-up is the transgression here, not disclosure. Concealment protects the violation of a core precept the Buddha himself taught. 3. Insulting one's Vajra brothers and sisters, concerns petty, afflictive contempt toward fellow practitioners. Speaking out, factual reporting of harm, done to protect children, isn't insult in the sense meant. Insult implies malice toward a peer, not accountability for crimes against the vulnerable. 4. Abandoning love for sentient beings, this is probably the most directly implicated downfall of all. Abused children are sentient beings. Silence that leaves them exposed to continued harm is a textbook abandonment of loving-kindness toward the very people in front of you. Speaking out to stop harm is the more literal enactment of this vow, not a violation of it. 5. Abandoning bodhicitta. Bodhicitta in application means actually acting for beings' welfare, not just aspiring to it in the abstract. Choosing institutional reputation over a child's safety is a failure of bodhicitta in action. Advocacy that ends ongoing harm is bodhicitta functioning as intended. 6. Criticizing the teachings of sutras and tantras, this concerns disparaging the Dharma's teachings themselves, not reporting human misconduct. Conflating criticizing an abuser's behavior with criticizing the sutras and tantras is a category error, often a deliberate one, since it lets institutions treat any accountability as heresy. 7. Revealing secrets to those unworthy, this traditionally governs specific esoteric symbolism and practices meant only for initiates, not concealment of crimes. Stretching secrecy to cover felony cover-up isn't supported by the commentaries, it's a repurposing of a doctrine about protecting subtle transmission into a doctrine about protecting wrongdoers. 8. Mistreating one's body, concerns disrespecting one's own body as a basis of practice. If anything, this precept's underlying respect for bodily integrity cuts against tolerating the abuse of children's bodies, not toward excusing it. 9. Abandoning emptiness/11. Failing to reflect on emptiness, these concern falling into wrong view about ultimate nature. They're sometimes misused to relativize harm, it's all empty, don't cling to it as real, but correct view of emptiness in Buddhism has never negated conventional cause and effect. Karma and real suffering operate fully at the relative level. Using emptiness to dismiss real harm is itself a distortion of the view these precepts protect. 10. Keeping bad company, traditionally, associating with those of harmful views who lead you astray. Read plainly, ongoing complicity with known abusers, protecting them, working alongside them, staying silent to preserve the relationship, fits this description more naturally than advocacy does. 12. Upsetting those who have faith in the teachings. This is the one most commonly weaponized against whistleblowers. You're destroying people's faith by talking about it. But the commentarial concern is causing groundless doubt, not truthful disclosure. As the Dalai Lama's own framing put it, when the misconduct is publicized, the disgrace belongs to the teacher, not to those who spoke, meaning the damage to faith is caused by the abuse itself, not by the honesty that reveals it. Faith that only survives on concealment isn't stable faith. Pathos. 13. Failing to observe samaya commitments generally, a metacategory. If samaya is fundamentally about mutual integrity between teacher and student, an abuser has already broken that bond at its foundation. Whistleblowing doesn't break a trust that the abuser's own conduct already dissolved. 14. Denigrating women. This concerns disrespecting women and the feminine principle. Given that a large share of documented cases, including the Cholas who spoke at the symposium, involve harm to girls and women in monastic settings, this downfall maps directly onto the abuse itself, about as literally as any item on this list can. The pattern. Read through their own commentarial logic rather than as reputation management tools. 13 of the 14 downfalls are more plausibly violated by concealment, complicity, and enabling than by disclosure done to protect children. The exceptions where speaking out could theoretically be misused, number 3 and number 12, only apply if the disclosure itself is done with malice or fabrication, not when it's truthful and motivated by protecting the vulnerable. That's a meaningful caveat. Honesty and care in how something is disclosed still matters, but it doesn't change where the doctrinal weight falls. You're not the first practitioner to reason this through. It's essentially the same conclusion the Dalai Lama, Lama Willa Blythe Baker, and the scholars at that symposium have each arrived at from different angles. If it's useful, I'm happy to go deeper into how any specific lineage or teacher, Nyingma versus Sarma readings, or a particular commentator like Dajim Rinpoche, has framed this. The Dalai Lama's 2017 interview, Ethics in the Teacher-Student Relationship, The Responsibilities of Teachers and Students, where he states directly that teachers who abuse power, sex, money, alcohol, or drugs and don't correct their behavior when confronted should be named openly. ChatGPT 2026 free. If the allegations of child sexual abuse are true, then using samaya to silence victims, witnesses, or advocates is itself a profound corruption of Vajrayana ethics. The fundamental purpose of Buddhist vows is the reduction of suffering. Protecting children from abuse aligns more closely with that purpose than protecting the reputation of an institution or teacher. There is also an important distinction between criticizing Buddhism or Vajrayana itself, and exposing crimes, abuse, negligence, or institutional cover-ups. Those are not the same thing. The Buddhist principle of right speech is not equivalent to silence. Right speech includes truthful speech spoken with beneficial intent. The central ethical conflict. The dilemma many Vajrayana practitioners face is something like this. Interpretation A, institutional. Speaking publicly about abuse damages faith in the Dharma and therefore breaks samaya. Interpretation B, ethical. Concealing abuse allows children to continue suffering, contradicting bodhicitta, compassion, and virtually every ethical commitment in Buddhism. These interpretations cannot both be correct if silence enables ongoing harm. Which side more closely violates the spirit of the vows? If abuse is occurring, consider the implications. The whistleblower. Intent. Protect children, prevent future abuse, expose wrongdoing, encourage accountability. Possible negative consequence. Institutional embarrassment, loss of reputation, discomfort. The cover-up. Intent or effect. Protect leaders, preserve reputation, discourage reporting, silence victims. Likely consequence. Continued abuse, additional victims, betrayal of trust, erosion of confidence in Buddhism itself when abuse is later revealed. From the standpoint of Buddhist ethics, the second scenario is much harder to reconcile with compassion and non-harming. The role of bodhicitta. The fourth and fifth root downfalls are especially significant. The fourth prohibits abandoning love for sentient beings. Who are the most vulnerable sentient beings in this situation? Children. If practitioners ignore the suffering of children to protect institutions, they risk inverting the very hierarchy of values that Bodhisattva represents. Does exposing abuse harm the Dharma? This is perhaps the deepest question. Many reform-minded Buddhists argue that abuse does not harm the Dharma. The abuse harms the Dharma. The cover-up harms the Dharma even more. Disclosure may damage the reputation of particular institutions or teachers, but that is different from harming the Buddha's teachings themselves. History across many religions suggests that attempts to suppress abuse often lead to much greater public distrust once the truth emerges. A child safety action plan for Buddhist communities. A trauma-informed response could include mandatory reporting to civil authorities wherever required by law. Independent safeguarding boards that are not controlled by senior lamas or abbots. Zero tolerance for retaliation against whistleblowers. Child protection policies for every monastery and retreat center. Background checks for anyone working with minors. Independent channels for reporting abuse. Trauma-informed care for survivors. Annual safeguarding audits by external professionals. Clear public disclosure of disciplinary outcomes where legally appropriate. Explicit teaching that Samaya never requires concealing abuse or crimes. Education for students about healthy boundaries, consent, and power dynamics. Regular ethics training for teachers, monastics, and administrators. A broader reflection. One of the recurring themes in Buddhist ethics is that intention matters, but intention alone is not enough. Actions are also judged by the suffering they create or alleviate. If Samaya is interpreted in a way that prevents the protection of children, then that interpretation deserves careful re-examination. A commitment that is meant to cultivate wisdom and compassion should not become a mechanism that shields exploitation. A careful distinction should also be maintained between criticizing the Buddha's teachings and criticizing misconduct within Buddhist institutions. Those are fundamentally different acts. Calling for accountability can be understood not as an attack on the Dharma, but as an effort to preserve its ethical integrity by ensuring that its highest ideals are reflected in practice. Gemini Flashlight 2026. The tension between institutional self-preservation and the ethical imperatives of Vajrayana Buddhism is one of the most painful and critical crises facing contemporary practitioners. The weaponization of sacred concepts like Samaya, tantric commitments, to silence survivors, whistleblowers, and advocates is a profound perversion of the Dharma. An evaluation of Samaya, coupled with a side-by-side analysis of the 14 root tantric downfalls, demonstrates that those who expose abuse and advocate for child safety are upholding the core of the Vajrayana. Conversely, those who cover up abuse, protect perpetrators, and turn a blind eye are the ones actively committing root downfalls. Part 1, Evaluating Samaya in the Context of Abuse. In Vajrayana, Samaya, Tibetan, Damsig, refers to the sacred bond or commitments between the practitioner, the teacher, the deity, and the Vajra community. Traditionally, keeping Samaya pure is framed as essential for spiritual attainment, while breaking it leads to severe spiritual decline. However, institutional structures have frequently inverted Samaya into a tool of spiritual bypassing and totalitarian control. Cult dynamic environments often teach that pointing out the misconduct of a teacher or an institution harms the Dharma or breaks the bond of purity. The corrective view. The foundation of Tantra is ethics. Every level of Vajrayana practice rests upon the foundation of foundational morality, pratamoksha, and altruism, bodhisattva vows. A system that uses tantric secrecy to shield criminal acts and child abuse violates the foundational ethics of Buddhism. Harm versus healing. Protecting an abuser under the guise of protecting the image of the monastery inflicts direct, catastrophic harm on sentient beings. Exposing corruption, breaking cycles of abuse, and protecting the vulnerable is an act of fierce compassion, Dragpoi Karuna. Part 2, Analysis of the 14 Root Tantric Downfalls. Looking closely at the traditional 14 root downfalls, as outlined by Asvaghosa and standard Vajrayana texts, we can evaluate who is actually violating them, the whistleblower-slash-advocate or the enabler-slash-cover-up network. 1. Disparaging the Vajra master. Traditional definition, to show contempt, ridicule, or reject a qualified tantric master who has given profound instructions, out of anger or haughty disdain. The analysis, enablers often claim that exposing an abuser who holds the title of lama or gusha is a violation of this downfall. However, classical Buddhist texts, such as the writings of Sakyapandita and Tsongkhapa, explicitly state that when a teacher engages in egregious ethical misconduct, criminal acts, or harms students, students not only can abandon them, but must cease following them. Exposing a criminal is a response to harmful actions, not a disparagement of genuine spiritual qualities. 2. Transgressing the commands of the Suggathas, Buddhas. Traditional definition, violating the fundamental ethical boundaries and ethical precepts laid down by the Buddhas. The analysis, the primary command of all Buddhas is to protect the vulnerable, practice radical compassion, and avoid harming others. The enablers and abusers violate this directly by breaking basic moral laws, and civil laws, regarding child protection. Advocates upholding safety are aligning with the actual commands of the Suggathas. 3. Being angry with Vajra siblings. Traditional definition, out of hostility, anger, or hatred, verbally abusing or taunting fellow practitioners about their faults. The analysis, corrupt actors sometimes argue that calling out a fellow practitioner or monastic for abuse is attacking Vajra siblings. However, the text specifies that pointing out weaknesses or harmful behavior in a kind manner with the wish to help or protect is not a fault. Furthermore, shielding a predator from accountability while attacking the victims or those who advocate for them is a gross inversion of brotherhood and community safety. 4. Abandoning love for sentient beings. Traditional definition, wishing that any sentient being be deprived of happiness and its causes, or turning away from active compassion. The analysis, the cover-up artists and enablers commit this downfall. By prioritizing the reputation of the monastery or the comfort of the institution over the safety and psychological well-being of abused children, they actively abandon love and compassion for the most vulnerable. Advocates fighting for child safety embody this downfall's exact opposite, fierce, protective love for suffering children. 5. Abandoning bodhicitta. Traditional definition, giving up the aspiration to attain enlightenment for the benefit of all sentient beings. The analysis, bodhicitta is rooted in universal care. Allowing children to be harmed in monastic institutions to protect an organizational brand is the absolute antithesis of the awakening mind. 6. Disparaging the teachings, own or other traditions. Traditional definition, denigrating or devaluing authentic Buddhist doctrines or paths. The analysis, speaking out against institutional corruption and abuse is not disparaging the Dharma, it is defending the Dharma from institutional corruption. Conflating the pristine teachings of the Buddha with the criminal actions of corrupt individuals is a defensive tactic used by perpetrators. 7. Disclosing secrets to the unripe. Traditional definition, explaining unshared, confidential tantric procedures to those who lack the foundation, causing misunderstanding. The analysis, this has nothing to do with exposing crimes. Conspirators who try to dismiss the exposure of abuse as leaking sacred secrets are cynically misapplying a rule meant for meditation mechanics to criminal acts. Abuse is a crime, not a secret tantric practice. 8. Abusing the psychophysical aggregates. Traditional definition, intentionally damaging or torturing one's own body, which is viewed as the mandala of the deities, out of destructive intent. The analysis, perpetrators and institutional enablers who inflict physical and psychological trauma on children are quite literally destroying the sacred aggregates of innocent human beings. 9. Having doubts about the natural purity of phenomena. Traditional definition, harboring deep skepticism about ultimate reality or the foundational purity of existence. The analysis, unrelated to moral whistleblowing. Seeking justice and systemic safety is a structural and ethical necessity within conventional reality, Samvardhisesha. 10. Showing only affection to the wicked. Traditional definition, consistently supporting, coddling, or enabling individuals who cause severe harm without attempting to check or stop them. The analysis, this is a direct hit on the enablers. Cover-up networks, institutional boards, and hierarchical leaders who coddle abusive monastics, protect them from law enforcement, and sweep reports under the rug are explicitly treating evil/harmful actors affectionately at the expense of victims. 11. Conceptualizing non-conceptual phenomena. Traditional definition, reifying what is fundamentally beyond conceptual elaboration. The analysis, a metaphysical philosophical point regarding emptiness, entirely distinct from ethical conduct or abuse reporting. 12. Causing faithful beings to grow disillusioned. Traditional definition, actively undermining the faith of sincere practitioners without cause. The analysis, institutional defenders often claim that media reports or survivor disclosures destroy the faith of the public. However, classical Buddhist logic dictates that hypocrisy, cover-ups, and the protection of child predators are what actually destroy public faith. Exposing corruption cleanses the community and restores integrity, hiding it guarantees long-term cynicism and destruction. 13. Not relying upon the commitments. Traditional definition, disregarding the very structure of the ethical and tantric vows one has taken. The analysis, the foundational commitment of any Buddhist vow is non-harm, ahimsa. Those who turn a blind eye to the trafficking and abuse of children are abandoning the very core of their commitments. 14. Disparaging women, or wisdom. Traditional definition, denigrating women, who in the tantric system represent the embodiment of wisdom, prajna. The analysis, systems that cover up abuse, particularly when it targets vulnerable women, girls, and children, fundamentally devalue human life and weaponize power imbalances, reflecting a deep institutional rot that disrespects the sacred feminine and the vulnerable. Conclusion. An objective look at the 14 root downfalls reveals a stark reality. Those who work to expose child abuse, lift up survivors, and demand accountability are upholding the core of Buddhist ethics, protecting sentient beings, downfall 4, and refusing to coddle the wicked, downfall 10. Conversely, institutions, leaders, and community members who weaponize samaya to demand silence, cover up crimes, and protect abusers are violating multiple root downfalls, most notably abandoning love for sentient beings, coddling harmful actors, and bringing the entire dharma into disrepute. Breaking a corrupt silence code is not a breach of samaya, it is the ultimate expression of the bodhisattva path. AI's consensual conclusion, three AI systems, working independently from the same root text and commentaries, reached the same conclusion. Samaya's own logic does not support using it to silence abuse disclosure. The 14 root downfalls exist to protect the trust between a genuine teacher and student, not to shield abusers, and downfalls like abandoning love for sentient beings and coddling those who cause harm are more plausibly broken by cover-up than by the people speaking out. Even the downfall most often weaponized against survivors, causing the faithful to lose confidence, traces more honestly to the abuse itself than to the honesty that reveals it, a point the Dalai Lama has made publicly since at least 2017. Samaya was never meant to protect abusers, it was meant to protect the path, and the path includes the children inside it.